This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Temperature records for the last 50 years show that the Earth is getting hotter. Scientists say that that's at least partly because there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. To find out whether the warming trend will continue, researchers need to pin down where carbon dioxide comes from and where it's going. A new study suggests they should be paying less attention to trees and more attention to rivers, like the Mississippi. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
Among the elements, carbon is the handsome drifter. Living things desire it, but it won't commit. A carbon atom in a rock 100 million years ago might be belched up as carbon dioxide from a volcano. It might then drift down and become part of a palm leaf. A dinosaur might eat the leaf and turn the carbon into tissue, then die and decompose and hand the carbon over to worms, and then microorganisms, and then, millions of years later, oil in your car. But humans have fiddled with the carbon cycle. Venu Itikat is a biogeochemist at the Center for Tropical Marine Ecology in Germany.
We are taking out things which took millions of years to form, like oil and gas or black shales, and burning them up within a very short time. And that means we are accelerating a cycle, so to speak.
One effect of that acceleration is global warming. Burning oil or gas or wood converts carbon into carbon dioxide. Too much of it in the atmosphere adds to the greenhouse effect that warms the Earth. Luckily, plants absorb a lot of carbon dioxide before it can cause trouble. That's led some governments and companies to propose growing new forests to sponge up or sequester carbon dioxide, or CO2, and slow the rate of warming. But now a scientist from Yale University, Paul Raymond, suggests that forests might not be the best cure for global warming.
I have some initial data here for the Mississippi that indicates that agricultural lands may sequester CO2 at a faster rate than forests.
Raymond studied the flow of carbon compounds running off of farmland into the Mississippi River and two of its tributaries. The rate has doubled over the past 50 years. The carbon comes from the atmosphere and from the soil when it's weathered. It ends up in the ocean, not in the atmosphere, essentially out of harm's way. The U.S. and other governments are looking for places to lock up carbon. One idea is to convert old agricultural land into forests that would absorb carbon as they grow. But, Raymond says, hold on a minute.
I am very wary of using reconversion of agricultural fields to forests as a sequestration policy. I think this is a good piece of evidence against it. I think that the balance sheet has to be completed first.
Ideally, this balance sheet should account for all the carbon and carbon dioxide moving around the planet. It doesn't. Although scientists have a good idea how much carbon is being produced, they can't find where all of it is. It's the missing carbon dilemma in atmospheric science. Ecologist Richard Houghton of the Woods Hole Research Center says the future of the planet could depend on where climate warming carbon is going and how it's getting there.
For some decades, we've been accumulating carbon on land, and that reduces the rate at which it builds up in the atmosphere. So if you were to turn off that accumulation, then the increase in the atmosphere would be faster than it has been.
And that might mean even more global warming. These scientists are not suggesting that farmland-to-ocean disposal of carbon is a cure for global warming. In fact, they note that no one knows how long that carbon will stay put in the oceans. But biogeochemist Venu Itikat says research like this continues to show how hard it is to fix a natural system that humans have disrupted.
Prevention is better than cure, you see, because if you treat a patient who's already ill with something, and you're bound to have side effects. The best thing is probably you protect your forest in the first place.
The Mississippi River research by Raymond and colleague Jonathan Cole of the Institute of Ecosystem Studies appears in this week's issue of Science magazine. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.